Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you, singing Alleluia, Alleluia.
Welcome to the Go and Teach Bible Study broadcast presented by the Monte Vista Church of Christ in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm Ken Leach, preacher at Monte Vista, and your host for the next 30 minutes or so. The great prophet Isaiah once said, "Come, let us reason together." That expresses well what I hope to achieve on these radio programs. What makes the Church of Christ different from other churches? Well, I believe that the major difference is its attitude toward authority. The major difference between denominations and the Church of Christ, the attitude toward authority. Catholicism believes in the authority of Scriptures, but Catholicism uses the Scriptures as only one of many sources of authority in that religion. The Methodists and the Mormons believe in the Bible, but they also have creeds that they place on the same level as the Bible and modern-day revelations. Even divisions within the body of Christ have been due to attitudes toward biblical authority. Let me affirm to you as we begin our program today that God accepts in religion only that which He authorizes. Things that God does not authorize are from men and not from God. That was true in the patriarchal age. In the fourth chapter of the book of Genesis, and if you have your Bible, I invite you to turn with me to Genesis, the fourth chapter. There's a story that we're most all familiar with, and that's the story of Cain and Abel. Look with me at the first eight verses of Genesis, the fourth chapter. "Now Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, and said, 'I have gotten a man from the Lord.' And she bore again, and this time his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of fruit of the ground to the Lord. And Abel also brought an offering, his of the firstlings of the flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he didn't respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. So the Lord said to Cain, 'Why are you angry, and why is your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door and is desirous for you, but you should rule over it.' Now Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose against Abel his brother and killed him." Now I want you, if you would, to go to Hebrews the 11th chapter and verse 4. And let's use that as a commentary to understand the verses that we just read in Genesis the 4th chapter. There in Hebrews 11 and verse 4, the Bible says, "By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain." Well, where did the faith come from that enabled Abel to offer a sacrifice that pleased God and Cain to offer a sacrifice that didn't please God? Well, in Romans the 10th chapter and verse 7, the Bible says, "Faith comes by hearing the word of God." So God gave the word, his word, to Cain and Abel concerning what kind of sacrifice he would accept and what he wouldn't accept. God authorized a certain kind of sacrifice. So at the very outset of creation, in an age that we call the patriarchal age, there was authority in religion. After the patriarchal age, we come to the Mosaic dispensation of time. And there we also have an example of how God feels about the importance of authority. In Leviticus, the 10th chapter, verses 1 and 2, we have a story of Nadab and Abihu. They went beyond what God authorized, and they died because of it. Look at that passage. And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took either of them his censer, and put fire therein, and put incense thereon, and offered strange fire before the Lord, which he had commanded them not. And there went fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. Note, if you would, that the verses say fire which he had commanded them not. They didn't have authority for worshiping God in the way that they did. Not that they were breaking any thou shalt not, but not having a thou shalt is the same breaking of the rules of authority as the other, the same penalty as man entering on the Sabbath in Numbers the 15th chapter into the temple, in Numbers the 15th chapter verses 32 through 36. And that was death. You see how these things tie to the subject of having authority? The fact that God mandates authority is not only applicable to the patriarchal dispensation and the Mosaic dispensation of time, but also to the Christian age or the New Testament age, the age in which you and I live. In Matthew the 21st chapter in verse 23, the chief priests and the elders said to Jesus, "By what authority dost thou do these things? And who gave you that authority?" So even the hypocritical Pharisees knew that there was a need for authority in religion. Did you know that Jesus didn't argue that question? He didn't say, "It just feels good, so that's why I do it." He didn't say, "Well, this day and time is different, and that's why I do these things." What Jesus did was give the authority that was behind his actions. But also in John 4 and verse 24, Jesus reveals the necessity of authority to us also. To the woman at the well, Jesus said, "God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth." Well, in spirit means that our worship to God must not just be from the outside, but from the inside. But to worship God in truth means that we must have authority from God for the things that we do in worship. God's word is truth, John 17 and verse 17. It's from that truth that we gain authority for the things we do in our life. Consider, if you would, 2 John the 9th verse. "Whosoever transgresseth and abideth not in the doctrine of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the doctrine of Christ hath both the Father and the Son." Well, what does it mean in the Bible when it says abide in the doctrine? That means to be governed by it. What if man refuses? Well, then man hath not God. If we refuse to be directed, if we refuse to be governed by the Word of God, then we have not a relationship with God. Many say, "Where does it say that you can't do this or you can't do that?" Well, look at Hebrews chapter 7. The contents is this. Jesus couldn't have been a priest under the Old Testament law. He wasn't of the right lineage. Now focus on verse 14. Turn, if you would, Hebrews the 7th chapter. In fact, I think that it would probably be good for us to just read the 7th chapter in its entirety and then go back and focus on verse 14. "For this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham as he was returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham apportioned a tenth part of the spoils, was first of all, by the translation of his name, king of righteousness, and then king also of Salem, which is king of peace, without father, without mother, without genealogy, having neither beginning of days nor the end of life, but made like the Son of God, he abides a priest perpetually." Now observe how great this man was whom Abraham the patriarch gave a tenth of the choicest spoils. And those indeed of the sons of Levi who receive the priest's office have commandment in the law to collect a tenth from the people, that is, from their brethren, although these are descended from Abraham. But the one whose genealogy is not traced from them and collected a tenth from Abraham and blessed the one who hath the promises. But without any dispute, the lesser is blessed by the greater. And in this case, mortal men receive titles, but in that case one receives them of whom it is witnessed that he lives on. And so to speak, through Abraham, even Levi, who received tithes, paid tithes, for he was still in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. Now, if perfection was through the Levitical priesthood, for the basis of it the people received the law, what further need was there for another priest to arise according to the order of Melchizedek and not be designated according to the order of Aaron? For when the priesthood is changed of necessity, there takes place a change of the law also. For the one concerning whom these things are spoken belongs to another tribe from which no one is officiated at the altar. For it is evident that our Lord was descended from Judah, a tribe with reference to which Moses spoke nothing concerning priests. And this is clearer still if another priest arises according to the likeness of Melchizedek, who became such not on the basis of law of physical requirement, but according to the power of an indestructible life. For it is witnessed of him, "Thou art a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek." For on the one hand, there is a setting aside of the former commandment because of its weakness and uselessness, for the law made nothing perfect. On the other hand, there is a bringing in of a better hope through which we draw nearer to God. And inasmuch as it was not without an oath, for indeed they became priests without an oath, but he with an oath through the one who said to him, "The Lord has sworn, and he will not change his mind, thou art a priest forever," so much the more also Jesus has become the guarantee of a better covenant. And the former priests, on the one hand, existed in greater numbers because they were prevented by death from continuing. But he, on the other hand, because he abides forever, holds a priesthood permanently. Hence, also is able to save forever those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for them. For it was fitting that we should have such a high priest, holy, innocent, undefiled, separate from sinners, and exalted above the heavens, who does not need daily, like those high priests who offer up sacrifices, first for his own sins and then for the sins of the people, because he did once for all when he offered himself up. For the law appoints men as high priests who are weak, but the word of the oath, which came after the law, appoints a son made perfect forever. Now I want you to go back, if you would, to verse 14. Verse 14, Hebrews the 7th chapter says, "For it is evident that our Lord was descended from Judah, a tribe with reference to which Moses spoke nothing concerning the priest." He spoke nothing, but yet we understand the authority wasn't there for Jesus to be a priest. Where does the Bible say that Jesus couldn't be a priest? Well, it doesn't, but it gives the qualifications. It gives the authority for one to be a priest, and Jesus did not meet that authority. You and I live under the laws of the New Testament. The New Testament took effect when Jesus died. We know that from Hebrews the 9th chapter, beginning in verse 15. Leave your Bible open, if you would, to the book of Hebrews, and look at chapter 9, beginning in verse 15. "And for this reason, he is the mediator of a new covenant, in order that since a death has taken place for the redemption of the transgressions that were committed under the first covenant, those who have been called may receive the promise of eternal life. For where a covenant is, there must also of necessity be the death of the one who made it. Verse 17, for a covenant is valid only when men are dead, for it is never in force while the one who made it lives. The covenant of the New Testament took effect when Jesus died on the cross. That's when the new law came into being. The Old Testament, according to Colossians 2 and verse 14, was nailed to the cross. It was the standard of authority during the days of the Mosaic Law, but it was ended when Jesus was crucified. In Galatians 3 and verse 19, Paul told the Galatians that the law of Moses would last till the seed comes. In Galatians 3 and verse 16, we see that that seed was Christ. So we can't appeal to the Old Testament for religious authority today. That's why Psalms 150 and 2 Chronicles, the 29th chapter, is not biblical authority for instruments of music. That's the old law. We live under the new law. Well, then the question comes to our mind, how does the New Testament authorize? First of all, it authorizes by direct statements. We might say that it gives authority by giving orders. Acts 17 and verse 30 is an example of such. We are ordered, we are given a direct statement that we must repent. Well, a second way that the New Testament authorizes or gives authority for us in religion is through an approved example. An example of that is Acts the 20th chapter and verse 7, where we are given an example of coming together on the first day of the week to participate in communion or to break bread. We're given authority there for the Lord's Supper. In Philippians 4 and verse 9, the things which you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, preach these things. So, there's two ways then that you and I receive authority from God on what we can do. It's by direct statement and by approved example. The third way is called necessary inference. Necessary inference is when a cause is given that always brings a certain result. If the cause then is stated, the result is necessarily implied. A result is stated that always comes from a certain cause, then that result being stated makes the cause necessarily implied. Let me illustrate. In Genesis, the 12th chapter, we see in the first part of that chapter that Lot was in the land of Canaan with Abram. In Genesis 12 and verse 10, it says, Abram went down into Egypt. Nowhere does it say in the Bible that Lot went down into Egypt, but in Genesis 13 and verse 1, it says, Lot came out of Egypt. The necessary inference is Lot went down into Egypt, even though that is not stated. You could not come up out of something into which you never went. Let's note also in our study this morning of authority that the Bible contains both specific and generic authority. With that in mind, let's see how the Bible authorizes some things without even mentioning them. Let's use the command given to Noah as an example in Genesis 6 and verse 14. There the Bible says, make yourself an ark of gopher wood, make rooms in the ark and cover it inside and outside with pitch. Now, where was Noah supposed to get the trees? Well, how were those trees supposed to be cut? What size should the trees be cut? What tools should Noah use to cut the trees? Well, the Bible doesn't say. How then would Noah be authorized by God to get trees and to cut them and to shape them? Well, he was authorized under the general command, build an ark. Noah couldn't have built an ark unless he had trees and cut them and shaped them. Noah couldn't have built the ark without tools to do that. So those things, even though they're not stated in the Bible, are authorized by God under authority that is general. A command to do something by God gives the authority to man to accomplish that. Those things that we just mentioned, such as where to get the trees and how to cut them and what tools to use, are called expediencies. They are those expediencies that allow us to accomplish the commands given by God. A command to do gives that authority. Now, when we're talking about expediencies, we have to be very careful. Noah couldn't have gone out and got pine wood to build the ark and said, well, that's just an expediency. Why wasn't it an expediency? Because God said, use gopher wood. Well, when God said to use gopher wood, he eliminated all other kinds of wood, so that wouldn't have been an expediency. Remember this statement. Something must be lawful first before it can be expedient. Let me give you an illustration. The songbook that we use in our worship services is an expediency to the command given in Ephesians 5 and 19 to sing. If we brought in a piano, that wouldn't be an expediency to sing because that's not singing, that's playing. Well, I hope that these things that we've considered today whet your appetite for further study. Whenever you study the book, the subject of authority, remember that examples that we have given and some that appear in the Bible that we haven't given, says that God is dead serious about us following his word exactly. Now, I understand that all men sin and fall short of the glory of God, and there are no men that are perfect. Jesus Christ died so that you and I could have a relationship that allows us to go to God for the forgiveness of our sins. But we must not disregard the authority of God and have a religion that is man-made rather than God-made. We'll end up like Nadab and Abihu. We'll end up like those who transported the Ark of the Covenant via a new cart rather than the way God specified. We'll end up separated from God. You know, that's the definition of the word death, is separation. We'll end up separated from God because of our sins. That's stated in Isaiah, the 59th chapter, verse 1 and 2. So today, when you go to the religious worship that you attend, when you go, ask yourself, are the things that we're doing in this worship service authorized by God? Are the things that the preacher says authorized by God? And if you have questions concerning that, well then, ask. We invite you to come to visit with us at the Church of Christ, which assembles for worship at 2202 North 40th Street in Phoenix, Arizona. The Monta Vista Church of Christ. It's at the corner of 40th Street and Monta Vista. And we invite you to bring your Bible when you come, and we invite you to check us out. We invite you to check the prayers and to check the singing and to check the Lord's Supper and to check the preaching and to just check us out. And by that, I mean compare what you see and what you hear with what the Bible says. Compare it with the ways that the Bible gives authority, as we've studied in this lesson. And if you find that we're worshiping according to the pattern, according to the authority, according to the plan given by God, well, then it's the place to be. And if you find that we're not, then it's not the place to be. But we would appreciate you telling us if you have questions concerning the things that we do, and give us an opportunity to open the Bible and show you a reason for the things we do and how we do them. I hope that you've enjoyed today's study and that you'll have a good week. Thank you for joining me today. If you enjoy Bible-centered study, why not come visit the Monte Vista Church of Christ? We're located on the west side of 40th Street between McDowell and Thomas Roads. 2202 North 40th Street is our address. We have Bible classes for all ages each Sunday morning at 9:30 and each Wednesday evening at 7. Everyone interested in God's revelation to man is welcome. We also assemble for worship following our Sunday morning Bible classes, and then again on Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock. Until next time, this is Ken Leach, hoping you have unlimited opportunity to let your light shine for Jesus Christ. Amen.